to the happy hour, the real happy hour. It's Friday. This is definitely a real happy hour. You guys could, assuming you're at home now.
Yeah.
Not in your vehicles.
Yeah.
You can have a nice adult beverage. Or a DD with you as head out elsewhere. It's the way to do it. Be safe out there. But it is happy hour. I'm just saying, on a Friday. So get
you,
to it.
You know, I don't drink anymore, and I love that I don't drink. But I do miss happy hours.
I love that you
don't drink too. I do, not necessarily the drinking part. The socialization on a Friday after work, that was awesome. Before radio, I worked downtown. We would always go to this place called The Local downtown. And I would get
I've heard a lot about The Local.
And there's one in PB now, too.
But about The Local.
It's not as good as the one downtown. I haven't also been
there. It's interesting that, you know, The Local downtown, I always felt like it should have been in PB. It's like the perfect PB type bar. And so it makes perfect sense that now they have one open in PB now.
They do. But we used to go to The Local after work, and I would get my lobster tacos because they were on sale. I'm a creature of habit. It was lobster tacos and two sculpins every day.
No, you're a creature of habit? No way. I never thought that.
You got to go to The Local, though. It's a good place. Good place.
I've been there. That's why I knew that it's a very...
Yeah, I missed you saying
PB-ish.
That.
PB-ish. Yeah, well, that's why I was saying that, buddy. Never mind. It doesn't matter. You wanted to talk about a Padre. What Padre is it
that caught my eye?
Or that caught your eye, or whatever it was you were saying.
Well, there was someone I opened up with the show. I didn't open the show with this person, but I did realize that they had a pretty nice day, and I've never really heard their name, and we haven't talked about this person coming into the season, but Oscar Gonzalez went 2-for-3 today, had an RBI, played right field. I'm not saying that he's going to take Fernando's job. I'm not saying he's going to make the team, but what do you know about him, Tony? Hey, he was on the Guardians a couple years ago.
Yeah, I remember him in the playoffs and the Guardians, and he had some moments in a series. I think they ended up losing in extra innings, but he might have got a big hit in one of those games, I think, that kept that series going, if I'm not mistaken. I know he played a role in it. Listen, I think he's going to have as much opportunity as anybody else. I mean, obviously right now, Jay Hay, Connor Joe are all candidates. Not to say that it will end up being that platoon, but they line up well to be a platoon. But we saw Connor Joe, and I think Mike Shield has gone out of his way to kind of make it known that they want to use Connor's versatility. They don't just want to pin him in left field. I think he can play some first base, as you saw him start there today. But I think in terms of Oscar Gonzalez, I think he'll have an opportunity. He'll have a chance to shine a little bit, you know? I think there's good competition out there right now. I mean, obviously, no spot in right, no spot in center. Left field, there's competition there. First base, there's competition. Maybe. I mean, it sounds like, as we talked about yesterday, Luis Arraez is going to play a good chunk at first base.
Yeah.
By the way, he definitely listens to the show.
Luis?
Or he saw some clips. Yes. Or he saw some clips.
Oh, no.
Of the show, for sure.
Why?
You know, it's all good.
Okay.
Thankfully, nobody said anything bad at this point.
But, what did he say?
But he brought up the fact that he heard us talking about the first base thing. And
that was a clip I put on Twitter last night, actually.
Yeah, that's probably how he saw it. But nonetheless, there's not a lot of competition. I mean, there's not a lot of spots available in terms of starting spots. I think the catching spot, I think there's going to be some competition there. You know, I don't know that it's a foregone conclusion that it'll be Diaz and Camposano. I don't think that's a foregone conclusion. They got four catchers that are going to legitimately compete. Martin Maldonado, Brett Sullivan in there, along with the two I named already. And then it's the pitching spots. You really have now a competition of a lot of guys for one spot in the rotation. And so, you know, how does that shake out? We'll see. Today was the first day we got a chance to see.
Yeah, I saw Matt Waldron. I can't remember where I read this. It might have been in the media guide. But he said he watched every single one of his starts from last year, and he realized one thing, and that is that he needs to establish the knuckleball in order to use his other pitches. Because last year, I think...
Yep.
I can't tell you this for sure, but it seemed like he didn't want to be known as a knuckleball pitcher, and so he tried to use his other pitches. But he realizes now that his key is starting with the knuckleball and then working off of it.
No, I don't think that's accurate at all. But
really?
I think he, if you go back and look at the numbers, he definitely dove into being a knuckleballer.
Okay.
He has to establish the knuckleball, meaning he has to be able to throw it for strikes early, because that allows him to use the other thing. When Matt was going good, he was throwing his knuckleball a lot, and he was most importantly landing it. He was able to get it in the zone, because then that allows him to work that cutter, work the sinker, you know, and it makes him we saw a really effective pitcher. And so, yeah, I don't know that he wasn't accepting that. I think the more he threw last year, the more we saw the knuckleball percentage rise. And I think when he ran into trouble in the second half, it was mainly because he stopped being able to command the knuckleball early in the count, which put him in a tough spot. You know, I think his knuckleball, you know, he lost some confidence in it in the back half of that, in the second half of that season last year.
Yeah, I can imagine that. When you don't have the feel for a ball that you don't know where it's going to begin with, it's got to be very, very scary for everyone involved. Let's see. So let's talk about beer. People are talking about beer since you said it was happy hour, Tony. Trevor says that he's drinking a Labatt Blue right now. I've never...
Labatt Blue.
It's the Canadian beer. It's a Canadian beer.
I like the Labatt
Blue. Someone else said that you must have known, Tony, that they were just sitting down to have a drink after a long week.
Yeah, man. It's Friday, man. And listen, I'm not... For those who don't drink, I'm not talking to you. It's all good.
Yeah.
You're good. But for those who do, Friday it's 6 o'clock my time, so it's beyond time to have a cold one. But for those who are sitting down right now, please have a sip for me right now.
Yeah,
it's
for Tony.
It's just making my mouth water thinking about a cold beer right now.
Do you have any in your place?
I don't. I'm trying to be good. I don't want to. I probably will have to go get one now since I'm talking it up like this.
We got some Mickey's on the chat.
Ooh, a Mickey's.
We're getting into my college days now.
That's a throwback right there.
I haven't even looked for a Mickey's in years. I don't even.
Nor should you.
No.
There's a lot of good beer out there, and I'm just keeping it a buck. A lot of good beer.
Yeah. Like 394 Pale Ale, I heard is great.
Boom.
Never had
boom.
It.
Boom. Yeah, don't want you to have it either.
Ryan says, Scraby, were you happy to see Wade get a start at short today? I'm assuming he's making fun of me when I picked Tyler Wade as my X factor of the Padres season, and you guys crushed me for it, even though that's where I thought we were going with the person that you thought we would never say.
I don't know what made you think that.
We
literally never said, hey, man, come up with somebody that no one would ever think of. Like, we never said that.
Chris goes
never,
like...
Never, ever, ever said that.
Chris says, like, Fernando, and you say Manny, and I'm like, Tyler Wade? I hate you guys sometimes. But I was happy to see Tyler Wade in there. I like Tyler Wade, okay?
T-Wade is going to play a vital role for the team. I just don't know that he would qualify for, you know, what was the term?
X-Factor.
X-Factor. I don't know that.
Well, I agree with you now that I know the parameters.
He could. If he does, that means somebody got hurt.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. All right, I'm stalling because I don't really want to get to our next story, but we should talk about our next story. And it's Justin Tucker. The NFL has officially launched investigation into Justin Tucker. And so now it's getting to a point where there's over 10 people. I don't want to say a number because I don't know if it's correct or not, but there are multiple multiple people in the Baltimore area that are saying that Justin Tucker exposed himself to them, didn't follow their directions. It's just not a good story. But that's the latest on that. So the league is looking into this, and I guess they have reached out to certain people that have made these claims, and they are also working with the attorney of these women that have made these claims. So...
There's just a lot of weirdos out there, man. I'm just keeping it a buck. Like, who does this? I mean, I know who does this. I know it's a stupid question. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it was a kind of talking out loud.
No, it was a rhetorical question. Everybody asked that question to themselves. Like, who does this?
It's bizarre. It's just bizarre to me. Like, man, I don't have any words for... Like, this is the ridiculousness of this whole thing.
Rod says allegedly, like, which saying, I should say allegedly.
It is. It's all allegedly. But I'm just saying, like, if it is true, weirdo.
Yeah, there's a letter that was written in 2015 from one of the massage therapists saying it. According to the report, it was from 2015. It could be written anytime. But they are notifying their massage place that Justin Tucker is someone that they don't want to work with anymore. And they describe all the things that happened. And it would be like, hey, don't move your arm and don't touch me, you know, while I'm walking around the table. And then he'll touch them anyway. Or, hey, don't move the towel that's covering your private area, and then he'll move the towel, and then it will fall on the floor, and he'll be like, oops, you know, my towel's on the floor, kind of thing. It's just not good either way around. But the NFL's looking into it, so we'll see.
Yeah, just ridiculous. Yeah, well, hopefully, you know, hopefully it's all alleged. But you get to what number are we at now? It's like...
It's over 10. Seven, oh, 16. 16.
No, not even close.
In total, it says 16 massage therapists from 8 high-end Baltimore area spas have made these allegations.
Tana started to go up at 16. It's probably started to go up before 16.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know how you can sit there while allegedly Deshaun Watson, they're like, you can allegedly sit there knowing what you did and then see everything happening to Deshaun Watson and be like, I'm cool. Nothing's going to happen to me. Like, I would be freaking out. I would be freaking out. Anyway, that's enough of Justin
Tucker.
Let's
get to break. On the other side, ESPN, MLB, no longer in a partnership. We'll discuss on the other side, good move, bad move. Here's some traffic. 6:20 on the clock here in AZ, 5:20. In San Diego, talking MLB, ESPN. They broke up yesterday.
It's very sad.
It was presented as a mutual breakup. We don't actually know, though. And we
it's never kind mutual.
We discussed yesterday, good move, bad move. I know some of our listeners on the chat surmised that, you know, Prime may be the way to go. Got this feel today. I was talking about this with Jesse, and he brought up a great point that I don't know why I didn't think about. Who's to say that ESPN wasn't going to opt out the moment that deadline came? And maybe you're able to save face here by opting out before something you already knew was going to happen anyway if you didn't.
Mm.
And you can kind of spin it the way you want. That was, and I had heard that. I was like, it's a great point.
Control the narrative.
Right. In essence, if it was already going to happen, at least you get to look, and your product doesn't look devalued. You know, if ESPN is the one that opts out, why wouldn't everybody be like, why are they opting out? I mean, then you start to look at how the local part of the game is kind of collapsing right now in terms of how you're getting it to the consumer. That was this morning. Andrew Merchant, who writes for the
Marchand.
This is how he starts this article off. Either Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred has close to a $550 million per year alternative to ESPN, or he has committed sports business malpractice.
Oh, wow. Okay.
On Thursday, ESPN informed MLB it was opting out of the final 3 years of a $550 million season or per season contract. MLB did a fine job presenting the opt-out as mutual, though something tells me ESPN would still be just fine for the league if the direct deposit of $550 million kept clearing. Because Manfred and his right-hand man, Noah Gardner, have devalued MLB's national regular season product to such a degree with streaming deals, ESPN had no choice but to attempt to reduce its $550 million fee, which is what was said was going to happen.
Yeah.
One rival network executive told...
Oh, I love this. The anonymous rival executive...
Told Marchand, it would be physically irresponsible to not opt out. So there's thought in the industry that ESPN was going to opt out anyway, even if MLB wanted to. So they take the power away by opting out themselves, presenting it kind of as, you know, they're not really showing baseball as much. I mean, what's changed? There's no baseball tonight anymore. You have your own network that is kind of a piece of why they aren't showing baseball as much, you know?
Yeah.
And so it opens up a huge conversation, right? In some ways, you've devalued it because you are streaming now, right? The local ecosystem has collapsed. And it just further makes it like, why in the world would the Dodgers, the Yankees, all the teams that have their own
the Red Sox
TV station, why would they give that up for free?
You wouldn't.
That just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
Why would they give up that stuff for free? Like, even forget the baseball part. Just from a pure business standpoint, why would you give it up for free?
You never would. You never would.
I don't. And so this also makes you think, like, what? He must have an ace up his sleeve because he's pushing for that as hard as I've seen him push for anything.
Well,
he must have something that is going to be compelling. That is like, yeah, okay, maybe we should.
I don't know because I read a lot about this from many different opinions, and what they're saying is like ESPN is well within their right because Apple pays $100 million per season for the one game. Roku pays like $10 or $15 million. ESPN is going to be paying $550 million. And so ESPN came back to the table like, hey, you made these deals.
Right, and that's what he's saying by devalued it. I mean, you made those deals, and you're getting $555 million from one network.
They did say that MLB had a pretty good answer for it. Sunday Night Baseball is a standalone game, so there's no other baseball games happening. Apple TV, there's baseball games happening. Roku, there's baseball games happening at the same time. So they don't have that one audience.
Can you tell me what the percentage cut is from 550 whatever million down to the, what, you say the 100 million?
For Apple, yeah.
What was for Apple?
Are you asking
on a game
me to do
that's
math?
Not... You know, it's better you than me.
I'm going using a calculator. 550. No, I'm just kidding.
Either way, my point is, it seems like a pretty huge pay cut for a standalone game versus a game that's being played. And by the way, it's a standalone game in the sense that no one else is playing at that time.
That's,
I mean, there's other games on Sunday, by the way.
They also have... the Home Run Derby. They also have the World Series, and they have the Little League game. So that's the whole package. That's why they're saying they're paying so much more.
Little League is involved in that somehow. How's Little
Remember
League
when
involved?
they go to
Oh yeah. I got you.
Not Peoria, wherever the heck, Williamsburg,
Williamsport. Yeah, there you go.
I'll just keep saying Williams something until I figure it out. The thing I don't get about this is why can't each team just put together their own thing, sell it, and then kick back some to MLB. And I know that it's not that easy.
I think that's probably what all the teams want to do, but they don't have the mechanisms to kind of put it out there, you know, on their own, right? Because, I mean, what? Padres and a few other teams, they're using MLB is the one that's kind of getting it out there, right? I don't know, you know, obviously the teams we talked about, they have the kind of the mechanisms to do. I don't know that all the teams have that, even though they want that. Like, how do you build out a local? I'd have no idea. I mean, it seems like it would. It seems like it's difficult.
It does seem like it's very difficult, and it does seem like it's going to get much more confusing than it's going to get better anytime soon. But it's weird. ESPN is going, like, ESPN is already going, trying to go all digital too. So that was another thing that was interesting, because that's what Major League Baseball wants to do.
They have their own, like, digital thing they're trying to launch here soon.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to need content for it. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. All right, let's slide away. Let's get to break. What did we decide?
Oh,
for our interview of the week,
we decided on, because UCSD is playing so well, we decided to give a little give some props to the UCSD team.
All right, let's get to break. On the other side, you get a chance to hear our interview of the week. Morgan and Chris.
For the first time in 2025, it is a pre-game show for Annie and Elston as we walk you up to Cactus League Baseball.
Annie and Elston, weekdays from 10 to 2 on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Imagine finding your dream home and moving in right away. No waiting to sell your old place first. Sounds perfect, right? That's exactly what Orchard's Move First, Sell Later program lets you do. Buy your new home now and sell the old one later. Here's how it works. Orchard gives you cash so you can buy and move into your new home first on your timeline. No waiting, no showings, no double moves. Then the Orchard experts take it from there. They handle repairs on your old home and make price-boosting upgrades with no cost until close. Once they're done, a local Orchard agent lists and sells your home for top dollar. Orchard's Move First program gives you the freedom to buy and move into your new home first and sell your old home later. Buy before you sell and get top dollar for your home with Orchard. Ready to find out how much your home is worth? Visit Orchard.com to get your free home valuation. That's Orchard.com.
My early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take,
but it gave my mom and me more time to plan. Together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
Listen up, everybody. It is time for the Biggest Fan. Congratulations to today's Biggest Fan, Allison Labor of San Diego. Allison Labor, give us a call back within the next 10 minutes at 833-288-0973, and you'll qualify for a grand prize, 20 tickets for you and your friends for a night in our Odyssey Suite at a Padres game later this season. Remember to register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. Allison Labor. Now, 10 minutes, 833-288-0973. It's Quinn and Chris. I'm Scraby. Chris with the Aztecs women's basketball team. Tony in Peoria. And we talked about Terry Francona a little bit earlier, Tony. And we just got a news story about him. Oh, I don't know that we had to record something in the break. There he is.
My mic back up there?
Yeah,
can
there
you hear
we
me?
Go.
All right.
Yeah.
Boom.
But we talked about Terry Francona in the Big Five. But you had a story in the break about Terry Francona that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, apparently Terry Francona is going to opt out of the participation in the automatic ball strike challenge trial. But is willing to let his Cincinnati's minor league players accustomed to the procedure use the system. Now, why, you may be asking, here was his statement on it. He says, I'm okay with seeing our younger kids do it because they've done it. Francona said, it's not a strategy for MLB teams, so why work on it? I don't want to make a farce of anything, but we're here getting ready for a season, and that's not helping us get ready. Now, remember, ABS is not going to be used in any form at the big league level this season.
Yeah.
It may not be in next season. And so I see his point. He has a very, very young Cincinnati Red ball club that he is now managing, and he's trying to teach these guys a different way of going about it. And I think he's just removing a piece that won't be in a play this year to get these guys, you know, I think what he feels is on the right track. So I get it. I get him not doing it. This is different than like a roster like the Padres have, where you got veterans that have been able to mix and match and deal with these different things coming at them. No harm, no foul there. But, you know, I think from Terry's point of view, a much younger team, less experience. He's trying to remove any type of distraction that can help them for the season.
Yeah, at first I thought, that's such an old guy thing. That's such an old guy thing to do. Like, I'm not going to deal with these automated balls and strikes. Just like that. I don't know.
You had to say it like an old cowboy? Is that how you had to say it?
I don't want to deal with this whole balls and strikes system. My accents have been good.
Dude.
My accents have been good this week. I guess I understand it, but...
I mean, they're literally not doing anything with it this year. Like nothing. As soon as spring training is over, ABS will be like forgotten about.
So what will you answer when I ask the Big Five question next offseason? Are the Reds behind because they didn't participate in the automated balls and strike system?
Of course you would connect those two things. And I won't be surprised at all if I get that question from you.
Because it's true. I mean, come on. They're going to be behind now. They're going to be behind. Tony, I think we got our biggest fan, so give me a second to answer just to make sure.
You do that. I'll update the folks who listen to us talk about Bobby Miller taking that 106-mile-per-hour fastball off his temple yesterday. We'll be happy to know. No fractures. He's still in the concussion protocol at this point, but no fracture or significant bruising. I told you, when we saw it, as scary as it looked like that ball – kind of hit him. Don't get me wrong. It definitely hit him, but it didn't hit him square. Like that ball kind of ricocheted, spun his hat off his head. But, listen, I know he's a Dodger. Certainly glad that, that wasn't, serious at all. Certainly, you know, happy he's all right. In other news, Cleveland Cavaliers taking on the New York Knicks, big matchup in the Eastern Conference. Cleveland says not so much, not so fast. 84-58. In the third quarter, 7:53 remaining. Cavs putting it on the Knicks at this point. We've gone over the fact that Hal Steinbrenner has removed the facial hair etiquette.
Thankfully.
Or facial hair rule, or no facial hair rule that they had for a long time. You could have facial hair. You could have a mustache. Nothing below the bottom lip, though.
Yeah.
So you couldn't even have the Fu Manchu joint going down. You had to go straight right at the top of the lip. That's where it ended. They got away with it.
This is a good thing. When I saw this morning, I'm like, why did it take so long?
I didn't understand why everybody in like the recent weeks were like so bent out of shape by the rule being. It's like the rule has literally been like this forever. I didn't hear anybody complaining at one point. But whatever the reason, it seemed to reach a fever pitch that it was high enough for Hal Steinbrenner to pay attention to it.
I think
to the point where he actually went around and started asking people about it.
Yeah,
according to him.
Yeah, I think it was because Devin Williams showed up to picture day with a 5 o'clock shadow because he does not want to deal with the beard thing. Now, am I saying?
Wait, is that, did that really happen?
Yeah.
He came with a 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah, he didn't say that he came because he couldn't grow a beard, but he did have pictures with his like with stubble, which is like kind of crazy for
stubble.
A Yankee. But it's more than stubble. It's like in between a beard. It's in between a short beard and 5 o'clock shadow. So it's still facial hair.
Listen, I don't know about everybody else, but I kind of explain this. I'm sure shaving his face probably had his face all. Yeah, he considering that he had a beard for so long. Oh my God! The hair our curly hair trying to poke through again. Probably a lot of ingrown hairs. A lot of ingrown hairs, man. I'm sure that was not cool. He probably had to let it grow out just so those bumps would go away a little bit. I've been there, man. Yeah. I've been there before. Listen, the Brewers had a no facial hair rule in the minor leagues.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't have facial hair. That's why, you know, my early pictures, you only see me with a mustache. But my face was suffering, like having to shave that often. Oh my God, my rookie card, you can go find it. It's got like, I got hair bumps beneath my chin. It was like the first time I had to like really shave in my life. It was terrible.
Did you were you on the show yesterday or the day when I was talking about my beard? I think it may have been Scraby's show, but I said I might. I was putting out there. I wasn't saying I'm doing this, but I might not shave until the Padres like season's over.
I thought you were going to tell me you're going to fully shave, like naked face.
I might do that too because it would shock people.
That would be a shock. You growing a beard that forever, that wouldn't be a shock. You coming in with a clean shave face. I might fall out this chair.
You won't know. You'll be like, who's this guy in this room over here?
You should do it. You should do the full clean shave face.
I told this story the other day, but it was my friend had never seen his dad without a beard. Ever. In his entire, like, 35 years of life at that time.
Scraby, do you have filters on this screen, dude?
No. What's wrong?
You sure?
I can't put filters. You guys keep saying I put filters.
It feels like my skin looks immaculate right now, and I just don't usually look like this.
So. No, I have ghoulish-looking eyes right now, so there's no filter unless it's ghoulish filtered eyes. But anyway, my friend's dad walked down the stairs, clean shaved face for first time in 35 years, and their family lost their mind. They're like, who is this guy? His mom was even like, this isn't my husband. Isn't him.
That'd be a trip if you decided to go fully shaved, clean face. That would be a shock.
I'm not
all
really
right, you gonna think about it for real?
Yeah.
All right. Remind me again, what are we doing here?
I'm sorry. UCSD's head coach, Eric Olin.
Coach Olin joined us earlier this week. You'll get a chance to hear that here shortly. First, though, here's some traffic.
Coach Eric Olin joins us. University of UC San Diego joins us here, head coach of the basketball team. Coach Olin, how are you? Thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thank you guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Coach Olin, you guys are having a tremendous season this year. I mean, as you guys start to work in the summer to build towards the beginning of the season, what are your thoughts about your team going into that point? Because obviously you guys spend a lot of time over the summer getting prepared for the season into the fall. How did you feel about this team before the season started?
Yeah, we felt really good. We knew we had three really good players coming back, which this day and age in college basketball is pretty good. You just appreciate the ones you can keep. So we knew we had a good core coming back. We were excited about the guys that we had coming in. We felt like we had the right guys, that we felt like our fit was good. You know, you always kind of have this idea of how things are going to work, and it's never exactly that. It's always a little different, and you got to get on the court to sort it out. But we felt like we had the right combination of skill sets and players, and it was just going to be, well, how quickly can we have it sort of gel and guys come together, and how quickly can we really start to play, you know, close to what we're capable of. And, you know, so we were confident in the potential. And then I think we've just been fortunate that it all sort of clicked pretty quickly, and you could feel pretty early on that, you know, the way they play, the way their sort of natural inclinations to share the basketball, their just overall decision making, their collective IQ, all just really fit well together. And so we knew we had a pretty good team as early as this summer for sure.
Eric Olin has been at UC San Diego for many years here. In fact, you know, you look at the 2020 season, 30-1 record that year, and then we know what happened in 2020 with COVID. But after that, Coach, you went to the Big West Conference with the eye towards, you know, being Division I eventually and full-time. What did you do differently with your program, you know, starting at that time to build up to where you guys are now, you know, ready to, you know, get into the NCAA tournament here in your first year eligible?
Yeah, you know, the first year was sort of the post-COVID year. I think we played like 15 or 17 basketball games, just
pretty abbreviated season. We had some players who decided not to play with all the things, you know, so that year was just sort of the survival for everybody and kind of keeping the things moving. And then from there in the next 2 years, I thought we really learned a lot about the conference. You know, we learned a lot about, you know, our core concepts are not that much different than what we were doing at Division II. But we've had to make some adjustments on the margins on really on both sides of the ball. And I think that those next two seasons, the first two full seasons in the Big West, we learned a lot about the league, the opponents, what are the things that we're doing that we want to keep and build on and be real kind of pillars of how we play the game. And then what are the things that we maybe need to tweak in order to be more competitive against the teams in the league. You know, some of that's how do we do a better job on the glass, right? Like UC Irvine's been kind of the standard in the Big West. They play two bigs, huge front court, do a great job on the glass. Some of the other league has kind of followed along because of their success. So now the league is pretty big. We play more small, five out. How do we survive on the glass? What are some adjustments we can make that can not change everything we're doing, but just sort of fix or problem solve disadvantages? And I think the 2 years in the league, we sort of figured some of that out. It's been a little bit of an evolution, and I think we continue to progress there, and I think you're seeing some of that now in the last 2 years.
Coach Eric Olin joins us, UCSD Tritons men's basketball coach. And Coach Olin, you talked about the 2 years that you guys kind of had to learn the ins and outs of the Big West. It's one thing to learn and be able to take notes, but how difficult is it to then apply those things, and how easy or tough has it been to get the guys to buy into those things that you're trying to implement that are a little bit of a change from what you were doing before?
Yeah, well, so fortunately for us, we've got the right guys in the room, and I think that stuff starts with the right people, right? Mm. If you identify guys who kind of want to play the game the way we think about it in terms of unselfishly move the ball, just make the right play, take the right shot, shot selection's important, taking care of the ball is important. You know, if you value those things, you think about the way that we think about it, like then we're on the same page when you walk in the door. Mm. All that buy-in is so much easier, right? We're going to get to that so much sooner because we have common ground in just how we think about and talk about. So we really try to learn about them and how they think about it and want to play the game. In the recruiting and evaluation process, you know, and we'll sit down and watch film with them and say, like, hey, here are the things that you're doing that translate directly to what we do. We want you to do more of this when you get here. And then here's some things that maybe you're doing now that we don't think translate, and we're going to ask you to do less of or none of, right? And if they're open to that prior to coming here, then we feel good about where we're going to get to from a buy-in standpoint. And then that process leads us to the type of team that we have now where, you know, we're smart, we're skilled, we're super unselfish. This is probably the best passing team I've ever been around. And, you know, I think that's part of why, you know, we certainly feel like we're sort of collectively greater than the sum of our parts, because everybody fits really well. They're really self-aware. They know what their strengths are. They try to help their teammates get into positions of strength. And we don't beat ourselves. You know, we control a lot of things that we can control.
Yeah. You see San Diego's 22-4. Right. I mean, it's going okay, Coach. And, I want to just go back. You guys had won 12 in a row. And then in early January, you hosted UC Irvine, and that was like the first big one, right? Everybody was into it, first place, the whole thing, and they were able to beat you that day. But now you come back, you've won seven in a row, and in the return game up in Irvine a couple of weeks ago, you beat them handily by 18. I mean, you got to feel good about where you guys are, you know, coming up right now. I mean, this is the, as they say, February into March is when you want to be playing your best. Sounds like you are.
Yeah, I do think we're playing really well. I think, you know, Irvine, well coached, really talented team. They're certainly at the top of this league pretty consistently. So we knew that was going to be a challenge coming in. I thought they had a good plan. They forced us into some things in the first matchup that we weren't as comfortable with. You know, but it's something we learn from, and that's, you know, that's part of being a good team is continuing to get better. And this is a copycat type of thing, right? So once Irvine found something that worked a little bit against us, and you know, we didn't shoot the ball as well, they dictated some of the shots that we weren't as comfortable with, right? Then everyone else starts trying to do the same thing. And so we find a comfort in that because we're seeing it consistently for a few games in a row. So when we cycle back to Irvine 6-7 games later, our comfort level with how to attack certain coverages or where shots are coming from against different defenses is significantly higher. And as a result, we kind of shoot the ball. We shoot the ball a little better. We play better offensively, and, you know, create some separation in that one. But a similar thing, like the game before we played Irvine, we played UC Riverside, who's the other team that beat us in the conference with similar type scheme. And so then, like, having that success against them just gives those guys confidence that, you know, we understand how to attack different things. And, you know, this is a smart group and we're playing really good basketball. But the exciting thing for us is that there are still some areas we can improve and continue to get better on the margins. And so we don't feel like we've actually found our best basketball yet. We're going to keep pursuing that. And hopefully that sort of lines up with, you know, a few weeks from now.
So speaking of which, Coach, 6 games to go left in the regular season. You talked about improving on the margins. Where are some of those areas you want to see your ball club improve on as you guys come down the stretch run here?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple things in terms of, you know, some of the stuff on the glass is something that's always an area where we can improve. We're not the biggest team. We're not the most athletic team. But both sides of the ball, I mean, in games where we've had less success, we have been hurt on the defense, on opponent offensive rebounding. So big emphasis there for us always. Our own offensive rebounding is an area where we could do a little bit better. I always feel like we can improve in terms of taking care of the ball, although we're pretty good there. We're also disruptive defensively. Like, I think we have the best turnover margin in the country right now, so that's another strength for us. But it's really just some of the little things in how versus different coverages, there's like multiple solutions to how we might score, and we need different answers based on what's the coverage, what's the opponent personnel, which of our personnel is in different actions, and being able to apply different solutions throughout games, throughout possessions, with different lineups. That's the sort of detailed margin improvement that you might not notice if you're not really paying attention. But I think those are like the kind of the nuances of the game that you can really kind of steal a possession or two or get an easy basket if you can execute it a little better. And so those are the little things that we're, you know, watching individual film with guys and just trying to help them execute on time. And, you know, when things sort of line up, it's fun to watch.
UCSD is home Saturday, take on Hawaii at Lion Tree Arena there on the campus of UC San Diego. If you haven't seen these guys play, 7 o'clock Saturday night might be a good idea for some of you basketball fans. Go out and check these guys out before they hopefully head into the NCAAs. That's what I'm thinking. Coach, I know that's what you're thinking. And I know what everybody else is thinking. How would you guys do against the Aztecs if you played them now? I'm trying to think of a good way to ask you that without pinning you into a corner, but people kind of have been wondering, you know, who's got the best team right now, and you guys have been playing so well.
Well, I think that's a credit to our guys that people are asking that question. You know, they're a great program and a great team, and they're having their own really good season. So just the fact that people are even asking that is a real compliment to the kind of basketball that we're playing.
No doubt about it. Coach, certainly appreciate your time coming on, man. Good luck the rest of the way. You got the city behind you at this point, and we're hoping nothing but the best for you guys.
Well, we certainly appreciate it, and we have felt that support. And San Diego is a great basketball community, and I think one that will support more than just the Aztecs. And so, you know, we just feel like if we keep playing good basketball, that'll just continue and build. So we're excited about what's going on and even more excited about what's to come.
No doubt about it. Thanks, Coach Olin. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Coach Eric Olin has his UCSD Tritons looking real nice here come March. That's going to do it. Good week.
Yes,
baseball
sir.
Season is back popping. here in Arizona. You guys are going to get a chance to listen to it every day.
Let's go!
Right here, 97.3 The Fan. Scraby Chronicles up next. Scraby, what you got?
About the same thing I talked about the last 3 hours. No, we're going to have more fun, I think.
Well, enjoy, my friend. Have a good weekend.
You too.
As for the rest of you in San Diego, do the same. Be safe. We'll see you on Monday. Have a good night.